This Sunday marks the fifth anniversary of the tragic floods at La Trobe in 2016. We know that it wasn't just La Trobe, it was upstream as well. But there's been, you know, a bit of money promised and some delivered. Are you happy with the progress in the flood mitigation measurements so far, Peter?
That's a really good question. Happy with the money that's been committed, not happy that we haven't constructed the flood levee that is intended to provide that level of security, a sense of... protection that people are looking forward to. So, I guess it's mixed feelings, Martin. Sunday is, as you say, the anniversary. It does bring back memories for many people who were impacted, but those people who were involved in the recovery and the provided assistance during that period. It is a real, as I say, a mixture of feelings, but at the end of the day, I am confident that what's proposed in terms of the flood mitigation project will deliver that certainty that our town needs, and I really am confident that by the end of the year we'll start construction and that project will be delivered. And I really am hopeful that Sunday doesn't cause too much angst for too many people in our community.
No, I'm sure it'll be, as you say, remembered for lots of different reasons, and let's hope that they don't put off this work until next year, because then they'll only just re-announce it because it's an election year, isn't it?
It could be this year, mate, with the way things are. You don't know what's going to happen in federal politics, but I know what you mean. But really keen to get that project underway. And as you say, Sunday will be a day in which people reflect, but also a day to acknowledge how far we've come from that really difficult time.
Yeah, and the wonderful work that emergency services personnel and volunteers did at the time as well.
Absolutely.
On a similar flooding story, the Australia's longest pedestrian suspension bridge over the Wild Mersey. This was version 4 of the bridge. The first few got washed away.
Yes and no. But in terms of this particular bridge, it is, as you say, we believe the longest single span pedestrian bridge in the Southern Hemisphere, not just Australia, but that's open to conjecture. But it's really a very thorough and rigorous environmental assessment that's been undertaken up there to ensure we don't impact on the environment up at the Warrawee any more than we have to. It includes things like washing down of all the machinery prior to entering the reserve. It has machinery exclusion zones to prevent impacts to local platypus populations and threatened species and the like. So there's a lot to it. It's a really interesting project. It's going to be one of a kind. It will be an iconic component of the Wild Mersey Mountain Bike Trail system. So really looking forward to that being completed. It's being built by a local company, BridgePro, who have great expertise in bridge building. And as I say, it's unique and we're looking forward to completion of that, not only for mountain bikers, but also people who visit the area and take advantage of those wonderful vistas that are available up in that area.
I'm probably being a bit harsh by saying it's version 4, but the other three were only ever meant to be temporary.
Yeah, certainly two of the three were, Martin, and we've had to review the third one, but no, not harsh at all, mate, I understand. But this will be, as I say, an iconic component of the mountain bike trails, which are proving so successful and so popular.
What's the timetable for that bridge, Peter?
My understanding is within the next 3 months it should be completed, and the bridge that's up there at the moment will be relocated down to the Weir at Bell's Parade. So we're repurposing that bridge and add to the experience that's available for walkers and mountain bike riders, or riders of all sorts, I guess, down at Bell's Parade. That'll be an advantage. We're not wasting the bridge that's up there at the moment. We're going to reuse it, and that's a big plus.
I reckon it's brilliant because now you'll be able to do a loop when you walk around on Pig Island, because at the moment you go right to the end of the island, you get to the Weir, then you've got to turn around and go back again.
Yeah, basically, but it's a great... nature walk at Pig Island. Most people on the coast wouldn't even know what we're talking about, but if you ever come to La Trobe, take the opportunity to go and cross the pedestrian bridge at La Trobe at Bell's Parade and get out there and explore that trail network on Pig Island. It's wonderful. It's a credit to Ron Hedditch and to the council works team that trail system is available. And it's a wonderful asset for our community, that's for sure.
Very popular. I've used it a few times myself, and rarely you go there and not run into someone else. Chocolate Winterfest at La Trobe coming up in August. At last, we're finally going to get around to it. It's been 2 years nearly because of COVID.
It has, but what Chocolate Winterfest looks like, given the COVID restrictions and the challenges that are posed by that, is really yet to be determined. But we're certainly giving it our best shot to try and have a Chocolate Winterfest event. There may be limitations. There may have to be significant changes to the past way in which it's been presented, but we'll do our best to provide an event that is, I guess, available to as many members of the public as possible, and to retain those things that people value about Chocolate Winterfest. But we'll see. In coming weeks, we expect to make an announcement about that. But in the meantime, if anyone's interested in volunteering to support the festival, then we do ask that you register with the La Trobe Council on 6426 4444. But particularly because of the training that's being required and provided by council for volunteers. So we need to undertake that work before the event, obviously, and we would be very grateful for anybody who's willing to make themselves available to assist with that event.
The dog obedience classes at La Trobe on Sundays have been very popular, but sadly it's the last one this week.
Yes, I'm going down there on Sunday to present the certificates to participants, and it's been really well supported. It's a great initiative from council, and it's wonderful that people are getting the opportunity to have their dogs trained to some extent, and to really learn about ways in which their dogs can be, I guess, better community citizens, I should say.
Socialising,
it really is important, not only for the dog owners, but also for the dogs themselves, and it's a great initiative. And as you say, sad to say, this is the last one for this year at least.
But you got some more planned in August, I thought.
Later on in the year, I guess it's weather dependent. And once we're certain about that, we'll make that announcement. There are some sessions planned, but again, we have to lock in particular dates and the like.
Right, and just remember, when you put the names on the certificates, it's the names of the dogs, not the owners, that needs to go there.
Well, I'll do my best.
Very important, Peter. The University of the Third Age, you've got a new term coming up at Port Sorell.
Yeah, what a wonderful group that is, the U3A. So many people engaged out at Port Sorell and in the greater La Trobe area. People travel from not only La Trobe, but also from Devonport and East Devonport and other parts to participate in the courses out at the U3A at Port Sorell. Full credit to them. Registrations, though, are essential for any component of the U3A courses, and we ask people to contact U3A. There is a link on our website for the U3A. Likewise, I'm hoping you might be able to put this up on your website, Martin. But in the meantime, there's also a mobile phone number, which is 0499 162 539. And we do encourage people to contact the U3A, understand what's available, and take on board the opportunities that are provided.
And you don't have to be a member or anything. It's open to anyone.
Yeah, but membership is a key component of the course. Without membership and subscriptions and the like, these things can't happen. So please take the opportunity to get involved and meet lots of like-minded people, that's for sure.
The website is portsorell.u3anet, which is a number 3, u3anet.org.au. The Rubicon Grove Auxiliary are having a luncheon coming up in a couple of weeks, in fact.
Yes, which is, again, a wonderful organisation out there. 16th of June at 12 noon at the Port Sorell Memorial Hall, complete with a trade table. Special guest at that event will be author Esther Campion, and she'll be chatting about her latest book titled A Week to Remember. So that's something to look forward to. Again, people need to take advantage of the bookings that are required, and please ring 0408 637 019 or an alternative number on 0419 352 359 to make those bookings for the Rubicon Grove Auxiliary Luncheon. Great fundraiser for the Rubicon Grove aged care home out there, and great that the auxiliary do support those activities.
And if anyone didn't have a pen for those numbers, we'll be putting this up online later so people can play it back again and have a listen to it. Finally, Peter, your next council meeting is on Monday, the 7th of June.
It is, coming up very quickly. Again, people are invited to come along to those meetings, but if you are interested in attending, you need to make sure that you have registered your interest with council to ensure we are compliant with COVID restrictions. So anybody who wants to come along, please contact Ms. Sarah Cairns on 6426 4444. That is the council advertised number, just to register your attendance to make sure that council does comply with those restrictions. But we do encourage people to come along, observe what happens, participate in public question time should you choose. And I will make the point that this is an opportunity for people who are considering standing for local government to come along and to start to assess what is required in terms of elected membership of a local council. And I think that's a really helpful thing for people to have a look at it before they actually jump into the deep end, so to speak, and nominate for elections.
Mm. Is it October this year, or is it?
No, October 2022, the next election.
Yeah.
But to be prepared is really important, to understand what's involved, and not only come to meetings, but talk to local council members, and I'm sure they'll share their experiences with other people who are interested in standing, that's for sure.
Terrific, Peter. Thanks for your time as always today. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Martin.